Again, good morning. So Albert Einstein was undoubtedly a brilliant scientist. He developed the special and general theories of relativity, and he won the Nobel Peace Prize for physics in 1921. You've probably seen one of the equations from his theory of relativity, E equals mc squared. I have no idea what all that means. I just have seen the equation, which foreshadowed the development, though, of the atomic power and the atomic bomb. Historians are mixed on whether or not Einstein believed in God. Raised Jewish, it's been said that later on in life, he rejected the idea of a personal God. While he did not describe himself as an atheist, he believed that God existed, but that he was a nebulous, universal, and that he was not comprehensible to the human mind. And yet, when we read some of the quotes attributed to him, we have to wonder, did he really believe in God? One of those quotes is this, and it's in your bulletin notes. He said, "There are only two ways to live your life. One is as if nothing is a miracle. The other is as if everything is." One author summed it up this way. He said, "All Uncle Al may have been understanding the obvious. Anyone who has described that there's no such thing as miracles just isn't paying attention." For instance, right now, while we have gathered here this morning, we are spinning right along with everything else on the planet at over 1,000 miles an hour. And we act like it's just another Sunday morning. But before this day is done, you and I will have traveled 1.3 million miles in our trek around the sun at a rate of 67,000 miles per hour, and you won't even feel it. And you may have thought that you had big plans for today. So when someone asks you, "How are you doing?" you can legitimately say, "Oh, I'm a little tired. It's been a big day." And you can mean it. Einstein said, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom his ambition is a stranger, he to whom this emotion, is a stranger, who can no longer pause to ponder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed." Now, I don't know if Einstein was a believer or not. In fact, no one really knows. But he had a profound appreciation for the mysterious, what I might be so bold as to call the miraculous. You see, I believe in miracles. I believe that we have a God who responds to pleas for help and prayers for healing. We have a God who does sometimes things outside the ordinary, and sometimes, though not always, but sometimes, he says yes to our big asks. In his book, The Case for Miracles, Lee Strobel puts it this way: "If there is a God who cares not only about us, but for us, why wouldn't he do such things?" As I thought about miracles in preparation for this series that I'm calling simply The Miracles of Christmas, we're going to look at what we can learn about the miraculous from some of the characters of that first Christmas that we read about in the Gospel of Luke. But before we do that, just some observations that I have just come to as a result of just preparing for this message. Because to be honest with you, I've thought about miracles, but never really in depth. I believe that they occur, but I've never really studied them in depth. So a few observations. When we look at Scripture and see the miraculous, when we look at history and see the miraculous, what we can discern is that miracles happen at the most unexpected times. Take, for instance, the coming of the Messiah. We read in Jeremiah 33, 14 through 15, a prophecy that was written some 600 years before the birth of Christ. The prophet Jeremiah said this: The day will come, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. Miracles come at the most unexpected time. Miracles come in the most unexpected places. Hey, guys, I'm getting like a serious bounce off here. Can you mute everything for me back here? They come from the most unexpected places. Take the coming of the Messiah, for instance, prophesied hundreds of years before his coming. In Micah 5, 2, written somewhere between 740 and 700 BC, 700 years before the coming of Christ, he says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the peoples of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf." Miracles come at the most unexpected times. They come in the most unexpected places. And I believe miracles come in the most unexpected ways. The most unexpected ways, which the Gospel of Luke does such an amazing job of chronicling for us. That's how the birth of Jesus happened. The most unexpected time, in the most unexpected place, in the most unexpected way. Your message notes are kind of long today because I've put a lot of scripture in there for you. And I would invite you to follow along as we read the beginning of the story of Jesus. We're told beginning in Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman." He actually should have said, "Greetings, favored teenager. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "That's a good sound I'm hearing. That means you are following along." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Now get the picture here. Mary, this young teenager, has so much to teach us about faith, about hope, about trust, about possibilities, about the miraculous, and so much more. Here's one lesson that we shouldn't miss. We learned from Mary that God often uses our most impossible circumstances to show us his incredible love. God often uses our most impossible circumstances to show us his incredible love. Because at just the right time, as the scripture tells us, at just the right time, Christ came for us. Mary gives us a miraculous message. A miraculous message. It is a message for every single one of us. And where we're going to spend the rest of our time talking this morning. In Luke 1:37, she says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Can you say that with me? For nothing is impossible with God. Do you know what? I believe that. Do you? Really? in your heart of hearts, in the deepest places of your soul, do you believe that nothing is impossible with God? See, here's what I believe, and I've put in your notes several statements today. I'm throwing it out there, just some of the things that I believe about God, that I believe about miracles. Here's one of the things that I believe, that Christmas is God's way of telling the world that he is in the business of making the impossible possible. Our God was, is, and still is, and will be in the business of making the impossible, the things from our perspective could never happen, actually possible. And again, that's what I want to spend the rest of our time talking about this morning. How does God make the impossible possible? Or what I might simply refer to as, how does he make the miracle possible? Well, last week, we closed our worship praying for this idea of miracles, that it would actually manifest itself in the lives of our people. And many of you responded. You came forward and we prayed and we asked God big asks to do things that only he could do. We prayed for healing. We prayed for little things and we prayed for big things. We asked God to do what only he could do, what makes he it possible to make the impossible possible. Last week, we prayed over everybody. I came back on the platform and I was starting to go back and I said, wait, we got one more to do. Because my wife, who is singing this morning right here, Jenny, she was having a heart procedure done this week because she's got this crazy heart fast thing, arrhythmia going. And she had to have another heart ablation. She had had one about a year and a half ago. And so this last week on Wednesday, we went into the hospital and the doctor began all the stuff that he needed to do. So in my limited vocabulary, what the doctor was attempting to do is to make her heart go wonky so he could figure out where it was misfiring so he could blast it. So after about an hour and a half, they came and got me and said, hey, the doctor wants to talk to you. That's kind of never a good thing, right? When the doctor says, hey, when the nurse comes out and says, the doctor wants to talk to you. And so I'm walking through, the windy way of the hospital. And the nurse says, oh, by the way, it's nothing bad. I'm like, thank you. Appreciate that. And so I got there and the doctor said, so I have been trying for about an hour and a half to get her heart to go into arrhythmia and it won't do it. I'm like, okay, so what happens now? He said, so I'm going to wake her up. And I'm going to give her a whole bunch of other medicine to try to get her heart to do what we've come here to fix it to do. Okay. So I went and sat back down. And a little while later, about 45 minutes, he comes out and he says, well, I tried. And I couldn't get it to do it. He said, I spent over 2 hours trying to get her heart to do what it had done to get her to this place. And I said, so what does that mean? He said, well, I woke her up. I gave her the equivalent of a Red Bull times 5. If you've never had a Red Bull, you have no idea what we're talking about. Needless to say, it'd be like drinking a whole 6-pack of Mountain Dew in one sitting. And her heart still wouldn't do anything. And I said, could it be gone? And he said, could be. And I said, what do we do from here? He said, nothing. We'll keep her on the meds. And I said, so we don't go anywhere else. We don't do anything else. Nope. And I said, but we keep her on the meds. Yep. Any long-term adverse effects to that we should worry about? Nope. I said, so what if we take her off the meds? And he said, well, I don't know why you'd want to do that. And I said, because it might be gone. He said, well, I wouldn't recommend it. See, because he doesn't have the same worldview I do. Because here's what I believe. In that day, in that moment, at that time, unexpectedly, God decided to do a miracle. And I believe with all my heart, and if you're on our email list, you saw it. I believe that God did a miracle. Now, maybe it was a miracle for that day only, but I believe it was a miracle. And we're going to see if it's just going to continue. But you know what? That's the mystery about faith, right? We don't know for sure. I mean, there's no test except it hasn't come back. But I believe in that moment, in that time, in that place, that God worked a miracle. And I believe that God is still in the miracle working business. As we talked about last week, we don't get to choose. We don't know when he says yes, when he says no. We don't know why not. But in that moment, in that time, in that place, I believe that our God did a miracle because we prayed. Because I believe that there are things that God wants to do and will do if we pray. Because I believe that our God makes the possible out of the impossible. And so that's what we're going to talk about. How do we do that? How do we receive God's gift of the possible this Christmas? And what do we learn from Mary about that? I think first, to receive God's gift of the possible this Christmas, we receive that gift through faith, through trust, through belief. It's a choice that we make. Did you notice Mary's response when the angel appeared to her? She didn't argue with him. I probably would have. She didn't run from him, which probably many of us would have. But she stood there and listened. And then she replied with these words, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? This angel gave her this amazing message, and she just says, okay, may all that come true. And so the angel left her. That, my friends, is faith in action. Believing and trusting in what God says is going to happen is going to happen. And so I want to ask you this morning, is there room in the midst of your impossibility right now for the possible? Is there room? Mary's response continues. She says, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me, for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children, forever." Fast forward, Luke 2:7. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. I said it earlier. God's gift of the impossible, God's gift of the possible often happens unexpectedly. It often happens in the midst of the ordinary. I think that's why we miss it sometimes. And God's gift of the possible often occurs over time. Do you know why I think that we miss so many times where God has answered our prayer? Because we pray about something and we don't write it down and we forget about it. And then somewhere in the midst of that time, God has answered our prayer and we've just simply forgotten. I have often encouraged people, write your prayers down and leave space for the answers. Because I believe that our God makes possible the impossible, that he answers our prayers, that he does things because and when we pray. See, I believe that some of God's greatest miracles come at the most ordinary times, that we often just miss them. And see, when we miss them, we fail to give him thanks for what he's done, because God is good. So number one, to receive God's gift of the possible, we receive that gift by faith. Number two, we receive that gift with others. We receive that gift with others. We receive it in community. Notice what Mary does after receiving the angel's word. She didn't keep the news to herself. She shared it with her relatives. How often when we face problems in our lives do we just keep it to ourselves and it just festers? God never intended us to do that with our stuff. God always intended for us to be in community. He created us for community. It's why he created the church, that we are supposed to be in relationship with others, not only to carry the burdens, but to celebrate the joys, not only to be lifted up in prayer, but to be lifted up in praise. It says that a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Let me say that one more time because that is an important verse. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. You see, there are two different types of people. There are those who see the impossible in the possible. In other words, they're just negative Nellies. They're just always down. They just never see the potential. And there are those who see the possible in the impossible. There are those who see that in the impossible, what appears to be the impossibilities of life, they see the possibility for God to do something, the possibility for God to move, the possibility for God to answer our prayers. In Romans 1:12, it says, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. That is why we are in community, because we walk alongside one another, be in life, in relationship with one another. If you're trying to do it on your own, you will fail. We were created for community. And so here's what I believe. The church needs us and we need the church. Let's make it personal. The church needs you and you need the church. Because it's in the midst of the community of faith that possibility comes from the impossible, that we see God moving in our midst. So to receive God's gift of the possible, we receive that gift by faith. We often receive that gift with others. And then number three, we reflect on that gift every day. Every day. I would simply call this an attitude of gratitude or thanks. How many times do we just simply give God thanks for what he has done? Have you ever thanked God that we can travel 1,000 miles an hour and can't feel it? Do you ever thank God that we woke up this morning and we took a breath? Do you ever thank God that we can walk around and not float up into the air? See, we've got to be people of gratitude, because I believe that the more we have this attitude of gratitude and thanks, the more we give God credit for what God has done, the more we see what God has done and is doing in our lives. In Luke 2:19, it says, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. I can't even begin to imagine what that must have been like. She thought about them often. Do you think? like she treasured that stuff in her head. I mean, could you imagine 9 months of waiting and trying to figure out what all this was going to look like? What God was going to do in her and through her and with the child that she was going to be carrying? This naive little peasant girl was going to be the mother of our Lord. God does impossible things, because with God, all things are possible. Psalm 111:2 says, "How amazing are the deeds of our Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them." We should ponder, we should think about, we should reflect on the amazing things that God does in our lives. So when faced with the impossible, I have a question for you. Are you the type of person who focuses on the impossibility that is in front of you, or do you reflect on the God who is for you? See, it's really easy to get stuck in the first one, isn't it? To focus on the impossibility before us. I can't do it. We can't make it. There's no way it's going to happen. Instead of reflecting on the God who is for us, on the God who is with us. We sang a song a little while ago that said that God is Emmanuel. Do you remember what you sang? Emmanuel, God with us. If God is with us and for us, who could be against us? Romans 8:31. 1 John 4:9 says that God showed his great love for us. How much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. So here's what I believe. Just like Mary learned how to trust God and to believe that through him everything is possible, so must we. We learn that. How do we learn that? By number one, we receive it by faith. We believe it. We trust God. We believe that God will keep his word, that we will be in the midst of community. We will be in the midst of relationship with others, where we are encouraged and supported and nurtured and carried and celebrated with, because we need it. We need the church and the church needs us. And then we reflect on that and we give God thanks every day for what he has done, for what he is doing, and what he will yet do. Because our God makes possible the impossible. So my question for you today is, what is the impossibility that you're facing? Maybe it has to do with work. Maybe it has to do with a relationship. Maybe it has to do with your kids. Parenting's hard, isn't it? Maybe it has to do with aging parents. Maybe you have been asked by your employer to compromise on your integrity and you're really struggling with that. Maybe you're questioning, where am I to go from here, God? Maybe if the path before you seems unclear, that you just need clarity. So what is the impossibility that you're facing? We have a God, as Mary proclaimed, as a teenage girl, nothing is impossible with God. I want to invite you to pray with me. And here's what we're going to do today. I want to invite you to just spend a few moments with God. And if you've got what appears to be an impossibility in your path, I want you to name it. I want you to name it for God. I want you to bring that before him. You might have been avoiding it. You might have not been wanting to talk about it. You might have been afraid of it. Whatever it is, that you just might be having an impossibility right now. And you need to invite the God of the possibility into your impossible situation.